Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or, of course, you can also write in through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, which I just said. Or email me. That was what I was trying to get at. You email Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to send your audio file in, that's the other way to get your stories to us. So, lots of ways to interact. You can follow us on social media, Real Ghost Stories Online at Facebook, at Ghost Story Radio on Twitter, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. And I should note, that's for where we interact and chat. I don't really take stories via those mediums. I did have somebody attempt to, like, Snapchat me a whole story the other day.
Oh, goodness.
It's like, please write in.
Yeah.
Like, I can't translate from Snapchat to, like, a readable format for the show. So, it's like, I appreciate it, but for submitting, go through the website, call in, or email the audio file. But we can always say hi and chit-chat and, you know, discuss stuff on those formats. But I suppose someone could tweet a story, too, where it's like tweet after tweet after tweet, tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet.
Uh-huh.
Be a lot of tweeting.
That would be.
So, but don't do that. Don't do that. So there you go. It's our last day in the studio with this carpet.
Yes.
We're going to be ripping it up here soon. This is like the last of the Mohicans.
It's not.
I've never even seen them. I was thinking like Mohawk floor covering or something.
Oh, no. This is probably, I don't know. This is some kind of builder's grade crap.
This is the last of the carpet in our house, though, I think.
It is.
So that's why I was kind of like, it's the last one standing.
Yeah.
And we are going to rip it up shortly after the show. It's funny because we got in here literally about a year ago now.
Yeah.
And all the other carpet we've taken out, but this one is like the last to go. And I think I've what vacuumed it once. The course
I've vacuumed it a couple times.
Oh, really?
For you.
Yes. Okay.
But it's terrible.
It was the room that kind of became like the catch-all for so many things with the kids, especially when we were really kind of getting the house all put together of like, okay, just go into dad's office and play in there.
Yeah.
I'll be safe in there. So it was the room that saw spills and the carpet that saw pretty much everything. And I was just like, it's Kool-Aid. We're going to rip it out eventually anyhow.
A year later,
and
we
now
are.
That day has come. It's become kind of like an art project, a mosaic of Kool-Aid and chocolate and dust and God knows what else.
It's disgusting.
It's an allergen nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going away later today. And then we'll have concrete and then tile eventually.
Yeah.
Or peel and stick tile, really. So.
Vinyl plank.
Vinyl plank.
Yes.
I always say the wrong thing. So, we didn't pick any of that up today, did we?
No, we have some, but we probably don't have enough to do this room.
And if I can make like a big smiley face over in the corner with it, and then you have to go and correct it and be like, Tony, that's not how we lay this stuff down.
You know it'll drive me nuts if you do it wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'll let you do it all.
Oh, great.
And just point and go, you missed a spot. something like that.
Uh-huh.
Be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Amy, and I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area. I've written in a couple of times, but this is my first time recording live, so forgive any blunders. I'm a little nervous. I was listening to the EPP episode On Patrol this morning, and a woman had written in about her experience with a cold mist at the Brookdale Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains. She'd wanted to know if anybody else had had a similar experience there. Well, my experience wasn't exactly similar. It was different, but it did involve a cold sensation. Back in 2006, I went down there for a paranormal conference, which is just what it sounds like. It's an all-day conference with speakers and vendor tables, only all of the subject matter is ghosts and the like. They're great. Everybody should go to one. And after the conference was an investigation. So we're all hanging out, investigating, and we're in the Brook Room, which is the dining room that has the little brook running right through it. Brook Creek, same thing. And I've sent pictures of that as well, so you can see the layout. And there's a little girl spirit in there, and she had drowned in the creek way back when. And so it's said that she still hangs out around there. Now, at one point during the investigation, I was in that main dining room, but just off to the side a little bit, down kind of a narrow hallway-like area that didn't have any open windows or doors, no possible way for drafts to come in. And I'm standing in that hallway with a couple of other people. Like three or four other people were all standing still doing an EVP session. And all of a sudden, I feel cold air kind of wrap around my ankles. And it feels like it's winding up around me, kind of like the stripes on a barber pole. And it's just this deep cold. I don't even know how to explain it. But it wrapped up around me, and I felt it start at my feet, go all the way up, and then lift off kind of when it got to the top of my head. And as it happened, I just got hit with this huge rush of adrenaline, emotion. I started crying, not like sobbing, but my eyes started tearing up and I was shaking. And it wasn't scary. It wasn't a negative feeling. It was just kind of like all of the emotions you could possibly have hitting you at one time. And it was over very quickly. But it was a really powerful experience, and it's really stuck with me to this day. That was the only thing that I actually had happen at the Brookdale, although some of the other people that were there had their own experiences. So anyway, it's a really, really amazing place. I know it was shut down, and there have been rumors about it being opened up again, and then that didn't pan out. And the last I heard, as of 2016, they were hoping to have it open again this year. No idea if they've actually opened it or not. But it was a really amazing location, and I'm so grateful I got the opportunity to go. And so I just kind of wanted to validate that woman's experience. Like, there is definitely stuff that went on there, and that deep cold is what I felt too. So anyway, I'm done rambling. Thank you so much for listening to my story. I hope I hear it on the air. If not, totally okay. So I hope you guys have a really great day, and thank you so much.
I wonder sometimes when people have these multiple emotion type experiences with the paranormal, and they talk about having every kind of emotion that you can, how much of it is their emotion, how much of it is being projected onto them from whatever they're interacting with,
and you're trying to identify what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have the mixture of yourself trying to identify what is this emotion with their emotion being there, then it feels like it's all these different things that are going on, and you don't really know why or how or
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably fairly common, you know, with this. Have you seen the pictures of this place?
No.
We've talked about it before, and we're trying to figure out, like, well, how is this set up? based on what that story was that was sent into us a while ago. And I said, well, is the creek like literally going through the restaurant? And you thought it was like, well, it's right outside the window or something. Mm-hmm. It goes right through the restaurant.
Okay.
It was like exactly how I thought it might be. Mm-hmm. It just seemed fairly absurd. I was like, maybe it is, you know. Uh-huh. And it does. It's really neat.
Okay.
The way it's set up. And I wonder what. Is there any, you know, filtration that gets, you know, from outside of the building to the inside of the building? Because this creek is like literally going through kind of like an atrium.
Like fish or whatever.
Yeah, or just wildlife that can get in through the waterways. Because I think that you have a lot of potential there.
Well, what about when the creek rises?
Yeah, I don't know how the hell that works.
No.
Or if it's, you know, obviously the place was around for quite a while. So I think they had some sort of plan in place for how all of that flows or what. I don't know.
It sounds neat, but
it does.
I'm one of those people that can't just appreciate it for being a creek inside a building. I'm like, what happens if this happens?
So many logistical questions.
I worry about it.
Of potential disaster. Because what I was thinking is, well, if they're closed, I mean, water doesn't stop. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're in there every day, you can probably shoo out, you know, something that maybe got in or, you know, through that waterway. But if there's nobody or it's like rarely traveled, it's like that's a great way for nature to take back over indoors.
Right.
Very quickly when you have a waterway inside. I don't know. But it looked like it was a really neat place. I hope it's being reopened. I have no idea the answer to that. But cool place to Google. If you want to see a place and go, ooh, I want to put that on my list of things to check out, hopefully someday. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. We would greatly appreciate that. Let's go to this story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I recently just called with a couple of stories about when I was young and experienced things that were happening and how a Ouija board cursor had gone missing, but I said I wanted to call with a couple other things that had started happening at my house and how I wasn't the only one that was experiencing at that time. So it was my senior year in high school that weird things just started happening out of nowhere. I mean, we've lived there 15 years and nothing happened before that. I'm very comfortable with this stuff. Like, unless I'm alone, I don't get scared. I find it very interesting. So it always seemed to happen when I was either alone or my mom was home alone, and nothing really happened to my dad, or he doesn't admit to it. But it first all started with me being in the kitchen, and it was about the fall time, and we had a dishwasher, and I was leaning over it, and I was getting coffee out of the Keurig, but I had not touched the dishwasher. I was just leaning over it, and it was open, but the tray wasn't out. And then all of a sudden the tray came out and landed on the floor. And I mean, that's never happened before because it's on tracks. Like, it stops it from coming all the way out, as you know, with a dishwasher. So I'm like, oh, I was just taken back. And I was like, there's a really loud sound too with all the dishes in it and the whole thing just smashing on the floor, basically rolling right out. And I like jokingly run to the kitchen because my mom, or ran to the living room because my mom was in there and she obviously heard it. And I was like, Mom, our house is haunted. And I just said that jokingly, and she kind of just looked at me like, yeah, it's weird that you say that because I've kind of been hearing things in the basement lately. And I'm like, what? Tell me about it. Like, I didn't even believe, like, she's actually experienced anything. Like, that was crazy. And she goes, yeah, I mean, I was like, what kind of noises? And she goes, I can't really describe them, but it's just, I mean, we've lived there 15 years, like I said. And she's like, I've never been scared to go in the basement. And I'm just hearing these really weird noises that I can't explain. And then for a point in time, my family dog at the time, before she had passed away, would be attached to my mom's hip all day, every day, would follow her downstairs anytime she did laundry or anything like that. And she would stop going downstairs or following my mom down there. And we thought that was super weird because she always did. And she wouldn't go down there for about like a week or two is what I remember. So we, you know how they say dogs can sense paranormal activity or something. So we were like, ah, yep, that's weird too. And then a couple incidences when I was alone and I had just got done shutting all the lights off at my house. My mom was out running and I was sitting in the foyer waiting for one of my friends to come pick me up. So I was texting them like, yeah, I'm ready. And it was complete silence. And I just heard like these what sounded like clapping noises, and it was three clapping noises, and it just came out of like thin air from the living room right next to me. And so I just immediately like what was that? And I got up and I waited outside for my friends to come pick me up. I told my mom about it. And then another time my parents were gone. I was home alone again. I just got done turning off all the lights. I had just shut my bedroom door and I had laid down, and I probably got to lay in my bed for 5 seconds before I heard a crashing noise come from outside my bedroom door in the hallway. And I was like, oh my God, somebody's in my house. I called my mom and she's like, okay, just stay calm, stay on the phone with me, open your door, just check. I'll stay on the phone with you. And I open up my door and there's just three hangers laying in the middle of my hallway that I have no idea where they would have even came from. Like at my mom's room, they definitely didn't come from my room. Just three random hangers from somewhere in my household landed in the hallway. So that was really, really, really creepy. And I could not go to bed. I mean, we have a different cottage about an hour and a half away from us. So I made them come home after that. And then there's been other things too, where again, I was home alone and it was pencil to paper aloud. I was doing, it was finals week for when I was in high school. And so I was just sitting in silence. My parents were at the gym. And I was just, all of a sudden I heard like a noise come from my brother's room, living room area. And I was like, I just sat there and like listened very silent, and there's silence. It just sounded like things were moving. I couldn't tell exactly what the noise was, but that I could hear something. And I thought someone was in the house. Maybe they came through my brother's window, or I don't know. So I started calling my parents on repeat, and they're not answering because they were at the gym. So I just continued to sit there and listen. And there was then a couple noises that I could for sure tell like what it was, because my brother had blinds on his bedroom doors because they were glass, and the sun coming through the living room. Our house had a weird layout. And when the blinds hit the glass, that's just a specific sound that I'm used to. I know exactly what it sounds like, and I heard that. And then I heard like a very light like tapping on the wall, because there was a wall between my brother's room and the kitchen. I just started hearing a little light tap, and it's like I wouldn't have heard any of this if the TV was on or anything like that, but it was just because I was doing homework and it was so silent that I could hear all these things going on. And then the weird thing is, the very next night I was doing the same thing. My parents were at the gym, I was doing homework, and then I heard nothing out of the usual. Like, nothing stood out to me at all. Like, the night before, where I heard things going on, like, one thing after another, like the tapping, the blinds, and things just sounding like they're moving. Like, I couldn't even describe it. Then we had small things happen where radios would turn on and lights will turn on. And this was all over, like, a month to 3 months. Like, all these weird things were happening, like, every other day, one thing after another. And then it would just stop. And then nothing happened for 6 months until, you know, I went to college. And then I wasn't home to, you know, experience anything. But the weirdest part is I just recently came back home because my internship was near my hometown. And I have a new dog now, and he's only 9 months old, and he'll sleep in my bed from my college town and would sleep peacefully, never wake up in the middle of the night, never do anything. And then when the first week we were home, it's been almost a month now, but here and there I'll wake up to him growling in the middle of the night, and I wake up and I go, Tucker, are you okay? I was like, what are you growling at, Tucker? And, like, I'll try to get his attention, and he'll be, like, so focused on something in the dark. Like, it's pitch black in my room, and he's just looking straight ahead, like, super focused and just growling. And no matter what I say, I'm like, Tucker, cut it out. Like, stop, you're scaring me. Or, like, and I'll touch him, and I'll pet him, and he'll still, like, continue to growl for a little bit. And then he'll finally stop. And I was like, that just freaks me out. Like, maybe as I was younger, I was more perceptive to paranormal, and now that I'm older, I can't sense it as much, but he can still sense that there's like something there. And again, I said it in the last episode, or the last time I called, that our theory is that the ghost from across the street, because that's really haunted, they'll have like things fly across the basement right in front of them, and they've heard voices come out of the dark, they'll hear kids playing upstairs, like just the whole nine yards. So our theory is that it just comes over to our house, and hangs out with us for a little bit and then goes away, thinks we're boring or something. I don't know. You guys can let me know what you guys think. I think it's weird how things will, it'll be so much activity in a couple months and then none the next. So, yep, just let me know. I really enjoy the show. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
I think it could be just things passing through, and I'm not sure why some homes seem to have, you know, things just pass through and come and go. But, you know, I especially think that when the activity changes what it's doing, you know.
Could it be because some homes are just on a path that used to be a path, like literally for...
It could be.
For people?
Yeah. I mean, just like when we talk about people riding horses through living rooms.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing. And maybe that's why, or the house or the property sits not even necessarily on a path, but on an area where there was another building or something else of that nature at some point in time that was heavily traveled to or occupied. And then those are the areas that end up having these things, because sometimes it seems the rules are based on whatever time the people or things were from are still operating on those.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's hard to know. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's get our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sandy from Texas. I have a story that I wanted to share. I love your show, by the way. I used to be an elderly caregiver. And working around elderly, there's a lot of experiences I've heard on your show. And I worked for this one lady. She lived in a really huge house. Her and her husband had built the house probably 30 years before. And it was a rock house. It was two stories. And the ceiling went all the way up. There was no attic. And so when you walk in the front door and you look up, it goes all the way up two stories in like this grand living room. And then there's like a balcony to where you can see upstairs. And there's like another living room upstairs. And then a master bedroom upstairs to the left and a bedroom to the right that also had a bathroom that they used like an office slash bedroom. So anyway, I worked for this lady and at first I didn't really notice anything. And once I started working there, there was other girls that also worked for her, but they weren't really doing as much as they could. So I'm the kind of person, I like to stay busy, I like to clean, I like to do stuff. So I asked her, I was like, do you mind if I clean up a little upstairs? It's a little messy. She also had three cats, and the cats used the bathroom upstairs to the right in the office. And so it was just awful. Whoever was taking care of her wasn't really cleaning. You know, the bathroom was disgusting, and they were just putting new litter and not cleaning anything. And she hadn't been upstairs for like 2 or 3 years because she had a hip replacement, so she wasn't able to go upstairs. And she's like, yes, please clean. I didn't know it was so dirty. Yes, clean up for me. So I did. I started cleaning. And I just cleaned the whole bathroom. Then I moved into the bedroom where the office was. And I started noticing that there was a lot of things in that room that belonged to her husband, who had passed a few years prior to me being there, maybe about 4 to 5 years previously. He had died in that room, actually, of a heart attack. And so he had a lot of, like, personal items in that room. That was his office. He had pictures on the wall of his favorite dog and airplanes and just everything. It was like his personal room. So I was dusting and just cleaning the pictures. I found a nameplate with his name on it. I cleaned it, just didn't really move anything around, but just, you know, cleaning things, picking them up, dusting underneath, putting them back down. So anyway, that happened. I cleaned that whole area. And the cats were really happy. You know, they were like, yay, it's clean. I washed all the sheets on the beds, and just everything felt a lot fresher. So time goes on. I'm still working there, and I would go there every morning about 7 o'clock. I had to be there at 7 o'clock every morning. So you know, in the summertime, you know, 7 o'clock, it's daylight. But once it started to get, you know, fall and winter, you would arrive at the house at that time, and it would be really dark. So every time I would arrive in the dark, and this was a lady who doesn't like lights on. She feels like you're wasting energy. So every light in the house was off, except there was a little nightlight in her bedroom and in her bathroom downstairs, and that was it. So when I would arrive at the house early in the morning and it was dark, I would feel something was looking at me from the top of the stairs, which when you walk in the front door, you look straight ahead, and about 20 feet away from the front door is a stairway that goes straight up. And there was, I always felt a presence there and always freaked me out, but I just tried not to look up there, and I just tried to go about my day. You know, I had chores to do. As soon as I arrived, I had to let out her cats and start the coffee pot and things like that. And she would always wake up about 5 to 30 minutes when I would arrive, and I would help her and do stuff. But I would always feel that presence upstairs, and especially after I cleaned, I feel like the activity started increasing once I cleaned and, you know, moved things around. I don't know if that angered the spirit or what, but something caused it to be more active. Another day, I was just fixing things, and she had a cabinet in her kitchen that was a little loose. One of the hinges was coming off, so I asked her if it was okay if I get a screwdriver from the garage and fix it, and she's like, yeah, sure. And so I did. I went out to the garage, and again, all her husband's things were still in the garage. He had everything organized really nice, but it was covered in dust, so I just grabbed the tool and went and fixed the pantry. And then I kind of got busy with other things, and I left the screwdriver in the kitchen for a while. And then something told me, take that screwdriver back to the garage, like in a kind of an angry, upset voice. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. And so I took it back. And when I was in the garage, I started feeling like, okay, hurry up, get out of here. You know, it was just an uneasy feeling. And I am a sensitive person. I have had other experiences. So anyway, later on, a few months later, I would feel other things happening. I would smell tobacco. I would smell roses. I would smell like candles burning, but she never had candles. She didn't smoke cigarettes or tobacco, and she didn't ever have roses. She didn't even like, you know, those Glade plug-ins or whatever to be around. She just wanted everything to be, you know, normal, bland, no smells. So I would smell these things. One night, I remember I served her dinner. And I had just made her dinner, and I put it in front of her on the table. And I could smell candles burning, but there was no candles anywhere. But it was very strong, almost to the point like that they were right there on the table, but they weren't. And I asked her, I was like, do you smell candles or anything? She's like, no, I don't smell anything. So I was like, okay. So that freaked me out. And another night down the road, there's a lamp that we would keep on upstairs just for the cats, so that when they do go to the bathroom at night, there's a little lamp on in that bedroom upstairs where her husband's office was. And I went up there before I was going to go home, which I would work until like 9 or 10 at night. And the light was out. So I said, okay, let me try to see if I can switch it on. Turn the switch, it wouldn't turn on. Check the light bulb, screw it in. It should have been working, but it wasn't. So I was like, okay, it must have burned out. So I went downstairs to the garage, got a light bulb, walked back upstairs, put the new light bulb in, clicked the lamp to turn it on. It still didn't work. So I was like, okay, it's an old lamp. Maybe it's just broken. So I turn around to go walk out of the room, take a couple steps, and the light turns on by itself. And that really freaked me out. I was like, okay, I'm out of here, you know. And so I didn't tell her about it. I just went ahead and left, and I was really freaked out. So after this, I feel like the spirit knew that he knew that I knew. And so, and I believe it was her husband, but I could be wrong. After that happened, I would be alone in the house every Sunday when she would go to church. Her daughter would take her to church. So I would be alone, and I would usually take that opportunity to mop the area in the dining room where she would usually spend all her time watching TV. And I would, you know, move her chair, mop real good, clean everything real good around her area while she was gone. Because I didn't like to do it when she was there. I didn't want to disturb her. And so I would be alone on Sundays, and this I would hear bangs on the ceiling. Anytime I would go upstairs to use the bathroom, we had to use the bathroom upstairs. And I would be in her bathroom upstairs, and I would hear bangs right above the toilet 3 times, bang, bang, bang. And so I would just hurry up, use the restroom, and leave. And this happened over and over again. Every time I would go to the bathroom, I'd hear bang, bang, bang in the bathroom. And I checked the pipes. I checked the toilet. Maybe it was the toilet. Nothing. So I think that something was saying, get out of here, get out of here. Like, I mean, he didn't want me upstairs or something. I don't know. And so any time I would be alone, I would start hearing bangs above my head somewhere close to me, even if I was, like, upstairs watching TV or just, you know, usually upstairs. Downstairs was hardly any activity, but it was always upstairs. So anyway, I eventually quit that job, not because of that, just because I found a different job and, yeah, so that was my experience with that house, and I apologize if I rambled. I hope this was a good story, and I really love you guys' show. I listen to you on Spotify, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
I kind of am wondering if it wasn't so much laziness on the part of the person who had the job before her as to not wanting to clean upstairs, or maybe they just didn't want to spend any time up there because of the activity.
And they just weren't going to bring it up?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And I mean, I could see where you pass it off almost as laziness,
mm-hmm.
just to not want to talk about it or out of fear of talking about it or what have you. Everyone has different reasons if they're not talking about a ghost, whether it be, you know, they've had a horrible encounter at some point and it scares them, or they just don't believe, or they have had an encounter and still don't believe because it's just too much to take in.
Well, and I doubt that the person who had the job before her mm-hmm. said, hey, by the way, there's weird stuff that goes on.
Sure.
It was probably just written off as, oh, they just didn't want to do their work upstairs.
Yeah. I don't know, probably a lot of employers that would accept that as being like, oh yeah, that's a totally acceptable reason not to.
Well, and the lady couldn't go upstairs to check and see what had been done.
Exactly. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Jace, and I just want to tell you about my demon encounter. I've never considered myself sensitive to supernatural things, but I do believe that once you take out all the bit of logic that you can throw in, oh, it could have been a bird hitting the window, oh, it could have been, it when all the logical evidence is thrown out and it just is supernatural, I believe it. But it's funny I say that because I don't want to say I've been haunted. I should say I've been protected by my late father. He died a few years ago. He was in a car accident. But it was odd because me and him never really got along too well. We'd always respected each other, but me and him never really saw eye to eye, and we were talking one day, and I looked at him, and I told him I loved him, even though sometimes he gets on my last nerve. And he looked at me, and he said, I love you too. I will always protect you no matter what happens. And his work actually called. He owned a business, and he had to go to the office, and he never made it there. But that was a few years ago. I'm 18 years old, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I always had a phobia of the dark. Like, if I couldn't see anything at all, I'd flip out. I couldn't handle it. I could always swear I felt, breath on the back of my neck. I could always feel something touching the very back of my foot, just enough to where I question if it actually happened. And now I actually think I know why I had a phobia of the dark. The breathing that I would so-called feel in the dark was very labored. It was in and out, in and out. And it sounded very wheezy, like they were having trouble breathing. But it was so faint. It was so faint, I couldn't even... Anyways, lately, there a little bit of context, there's two wanted fugitives in Georgia right now, and this happened just a few days ago. I was in the shower, and I was home alone, and the door opened to the house, and we don't necessarily have an alarm. We do, but we generally just use the system my dad set up a very long time ago, to where if you open the door, three loud beeps go through the house, just so people could know someone's coming in or going out. I've never snuck out, but I've always imagined it'd be very hard to sneak out. I can neither confirm nor deny that I have snuck out before. But I, my dad, for my 18th birthday, had given me a Smith & Wesson. It was old, it was kind of old, but it was, it worked just fine, and it's my favorite gun, I still have it. But, I had actually gone shooting with my best friend. He doesn't really know how to shoot very well, and I was teaching him how to shoot, how to hold it, and whatever. So when I got home, I had taken a shower just to get all the lead and the dirt off me. And so when I got out, I heard the door open. I still had my gun on the pants on the floor, so I had grabbed it and I had opened the door because I had thought it was the fugitives, because my mom wasn't supposed to be home, and no one was supposed to be home. And I walked into the kitchen, and the way that my house is laid out, it's the kitchen, then it's the dining room, then it's the kitchen, and then it's a foyer, or whatever. It's the room where you walk into when you first walk in. And I had walked into the dining room because that's where the hallway is, where the bathroom is. And what I saw confused me. The door was wide open, and it was weird because the bolt was still open, and like it was locked, but I didn't even notice that until later, because I was too busy staring at the woman staring right at me. She had on a dress that was dirt, like horribly dirty. I couldn't tell if it was dirt or blood or both. She had dirty, dirty, dirty black long hair. And she was so skinny. And I thought it was just a homeless woman with really long fingernails, because her fingernails were straight and they were about 2 feet long each. But on the other hand, she just looked like she had regular fingernails. And I was just gonna tell her, I was either just gonna, sorry if this offends anybody, I was either gonna tell her to get out of my house or I was gonna shoot her right then and there. But before I could even say anything, she wheezed, and she breathed very hard, just like I swore I could hear in the dark, and panic grabbed me. All of a sudden, I lifted the gun, lifted the hand that the gun was in, and there was no gun. Panic gripped me, and fight or flight kicked in. I wasn't going to fight that thing, so I ran to my room, and where she was, my room is on the opposite side of the house, and it's a one-story house. This sounds so stupid, but I collect katanas and other kinds of blades or whatever. So I basically threw everything off my dresser to grab what's called a pudao, a P-U-D-A-O. And it, just look it up if you don't know what it looks like. And I was, it was the longest one I had, and I was gonna protect myself while keeping a distance. So, I don't know why she walked all the way to my room, and she scratched the walls, even though there are no scratch marks, I could hear her scratching the walls. And when she walked in, I thought I was gonna die. I thought I was gonna die by the thing that haunted me at night. And all of a sudden, my dad is a very big man, and he was missing half of his ring finger because of a saw accident. So when I saw a giant hand seem to create itself out of mist and plow the woman's head into the wall, I could see my dad for about a second, and he looked at me, and he was smiling, and all of a sudden, it was instantaneous. They were gone. Like, it wasn't like I blinked and they were gone. It was so, I hadn't even blinked. It was, they were there, and then they weren't. It's like they just, poof, snapped out of existence. And when I registered what had just happened, my dad had kept his promise. I broke down and cried. I hadn't cried in 2 years. I didn't even cry at my dad's funeral because I didn't know how to react. That sounds heartless, but I literally didn't even know what to do. Yeah, that's my story. I can send you a picture of the weapon that I was going to defend myself with, and I can actually show you the hole where the woman's head went in on my wall. And, yeah. So that's my story. I hope you liked it. Sorry for rambling on. I'm not an EPP. So if you guys decide to air this, don't put it on an EPP episode, because I won't hear it. I can't afford it. So, you guys are awesome. I love your story. I love your stories. Tony, I think that every once in a while you should maybe read a creepypasta, because those things are awesome. And just read a few, and people don't like them, then don't do it again. have a nice day, you guys. See ya.
A creepy what?
Creepy pasta is what he said.
What's a creepy pasta?
I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is.
Like, do you eat it?
I don't think
so. Is it like
a
few silly ghost stories?
Right. I have no idea.
A creepy pasta.
Why don't you just Google it and find out?
I'm going to. Is it like creepy pasta? I've never heard of such a thing. Scary paranormal and short horror microfiction. Isn't that...
It's not real.
It's not real. So, I mean, it's kind of like what we do, but they're not real.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because we have short stories, it's just ours are real. So, it's kind of like what we do, except it's real.
Yeah.
Okay. Creepy. What's the pasta stand for?
I don't know. It's just what it's called.
Oh, these terms children are using these days. I can't keep up.
Yeah.
My goodness. Thank you for the story. And it does sound like the dad was there. Like it was kind of a battle between good and evil almost.
Yeah.
With that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up our program for today. Thank you for listening. Greatly appreciate it. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Become a EPP at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps us on the air. If you like this program, consider doing that and allowing us to continue Real Ghost Stories Online by going to ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.